keep on the fire in love. Amen. 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 Are you ready for your marching orders?
Amen.
Amen. Be ready to receive them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Keep on, maybe seated for a moment.
Amen.
Let's see, maybe this will work better. See if this works today. That's good. Sean fixed it. Praise God.
Amen.
You happy to be here?
Amen.
That was such a good song, not because it was just a good song, but the timing of it was very good.
Amen.
You believe God's a God of perfect timing?
Amen.
And I have some glasses here. I just want to read you something. You know, so many things happen while you're praying. You know, we've been talking about praying. And so there's so many nuggets that I can't share everything that I find, you know, and that's hard for me because I want to share everything. And praise God. Let me just share something with you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
And when you talk about answered prayer, he had a lot of answered prayer. There's thousands, if not thousands upon thousands of people that were healed. Miracles happened. We're witnesses of that. You know, people in the science community, and not to blast that medical community, but if they have just a glimmer of a hope of a hope, they get all kinds of funding for what they're doing.
Amen.
If somebody had the successes that Brother Branham had,
Amen.
And people being healed in the medical community, they would have been given billions and billions of dollars to pursue what they were doing.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Because he had many, many successes. So, when he talks about prayer and getting something from God, I pay attention because he had success in doing that. So one thing he said here, I thought lines up really with that quote, because we're gonna talk about prayer again today. And part one was our attitude towards God. We got to have the right attitude. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. That's what Brother Branham taught us. I believe that. But if you have the wrong attitude, it can hinder the results. And then part two was about faith, because faith is so tied into prayer. We went through the biblical scripture part. If you have faith and you say to this mountain and be moved, and doubt not in your heart. See, but if you doubt in your heart, okay, then it's not going to happen. But if you have faith without doubt, then all things are possible. And Jesus said, when you pray, believe that what you're asking for, you have it, and you shall have it, just as you asked. How many times Brother Rand said, as you have believed, go and receive from God? We could do that. That's what the Bible says. As you have believed. So I was looking at some, just praying in there, and a lot of times I have too much material for a service, and so I was saying, I have to take some things out. And I stumbled across, just before I came out here, this quotation from Brother Branham. Praise God. It seems strange when a person has done all that they can do, that they have fulfilled every request that God has asked them to do, and still he is silent. Keep on the firing line. When you're in the battle with the Lord and right, like, you know you've done everything you're supposed to do. When you have done all that God has requested you to do and he's still silent, just be sure that you know God. And remember, faith is silently working, waiting. Say, faith is silently waiting. He's only testing your faith to see what you'll do. God does that. Did you know God does that? God does that. But why are we surprised? Think it not strange, these fiery trials that try you. He's trying your faith. It was the Hebrew children that believed God and stood out for God, and they were sure that they were right with God, and he let them walk right into the fiery furnace before he ever moved. Wait silently, assured that everything's all right. When you've done all that you can do, when you come through the prayer line and been prayed for, your heart doesn't condemn you, and you're living right with God, just hold on to it. God has to answer. He's testing you. If you turn loose the next morning and say, well, I'm no better, I guess there's nothing to it, then you didn't have faith to begin with. If you've got real faith, you'll hold to the last breath gone from your body. I like that. If you got real faith, you'll hold to the last breath gone from your body. You're certain that God is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Amen. I'm a diligent seeker. I'm going to keep on the fire line. That was a great song, Tim, because we're going to talk about perseverance today, part three. So let's all stand. Let's turn back to Hebrews, Luke chapter 11. I'm just going to read. We read this before, but we're going to look at it from a different angle. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And let's pray before we read his word today. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne realizing that we have nothing to offer you. Nothing in our arms we bring, Lord, but simply to the cross we cling. We claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. For we know that nothing can wash away our sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus, Lord.
Hallelujah.
But Lord, you gave us faith in that sacrifice. Lord, I have no faith in myself or what I could produce, but I have great faith without doubt that sacrifice you made was all sufficient for everything I'd ever have need of in this life's journey. And my faith is resting in what you did, Lord, not in what I can do.
Amen.
And I understand from your word that by that faith in what you did, that I am justified in your sight.
Amen.
And that you made me through that sacrifice as righteous as God. Lord, we thank you for that. We know we're unworthy of that, but you made us worthy. And it's our simple faith in what you did that makes us worthy. Lord, and it causes us to want to serve you, and we want to worship you, and we want your spirit to have preeminence in our life. And Lord, I want you to take over my mind and my being, and I want you to live again through me, Lord, because I realize that my life is no good, but your life is wonderful.
Amen.
So, Lord, I ask you to come today again. And I ask you to take control of not just me, Lord, but each and every one here. And lift us up in the heavenly places. Lord, fill us with your faith and inspiration. May we truly be able to anchor on the promises of God. And stand when the winds are blowing hard and the trials are blowing and our faith is being tested. When we've done all that we can do, help us to stand.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In this evil day, Lord, bless your people today. Bless the reading of your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are in bed with me, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, this is Jesus talking. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, if there's one man that we can trust, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Really, he's the only one we can trust, really. We can't even trust ourselves. We can have good intentions, and we can make all kinds of promises, and we can sincerely say, I'm going to do my best to keep my word, but he's the only one that has the ability to keep every promise he's ever made. And when I hear these words from Jesus, I don't hear the words of someone who's playing a game with me. I hear the words of God manifested in flesh, making a promise to me, telling me to ask. Amen? How do you hear that? Do you hear that as someone who's not sincere? I believe he's sincere. Praise God. So, as we said, this is the third part, and I'm enjoying this myself, and I'm learning myself, and as we pray and we seek God, and I relate to the scripture. It's not as though that I've apprehended or already perfect myself. No, but I'm with you as one that's pursuing God myself also, that wants to get better at the way I approach God and the way that I pray. And when we get it all figured out, we know we're wrong. So we're always trying to learn. And I believe this, the closer we get to God, the more little we become in our own sight. You know, when someone really thinks highly of themselves and their opinion is the most important opinion in the whole world, I just think they're really far from God. I need to pray for them. Because when you get in the presence of God and you really break through out of self and carnality and your own thinking, and you're really in the presence of Almighty God, you're not real big. He's real big. He starts to show you yourself and all of your faults and where you fail, things that you cannot see easily without him. Prayer doesn't make you puffed up. Prayer makes you little. Praise God. So we all need to learn how to pray, even though we've been praying maybe for many years. I think we can get better at it. And frankly, I'd like to see better results. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to pray in vain. I don't want when someone says, well, I have this real need, I say, well, we'll pray about that, and really you're not going to pray about it. No, I want to have such confidence that when we pray that we can say, I'm going to pray about that. And when I ask, I'm going to ask believing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask with such faith, I want you to call me when you get the answer.
Amen?
Amen? We ought to have a different attitude about prayer. It is one of the greatest weapons we have. Love is one of the greatest weapons we have, because love will conquer anything. Prayer is a great weapon, and the devil doesn't tremble when we go to prayer because of our strength. He trembles because of who we're going to. And he's a witness of what happens when someone humbles themselves to this mighty God. Get results. So I want you to be more successful than me when you pray. Because I'm hoping you're praying for me. Amen. And I'll keep praying for you. And let's get better at prayer. What really is more important than approaching God? And having a relationship with God and communicating with God. And I just can't think of something that would be more important to us right now. So I thank God for leading us into looking and spending time on prayer, because I don't think anybody would stand up today and say, well, I'm really great at this and I don't need any help. And I don't think anybody would say that. Not an honest person. An honest person would say, I don't pray enough. An honest person would say, sometimes I struggle with praying. An honest person would say, you know, sometimes it does seem very silent from the other side. So thank you, Lord, for help with prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to have the right attitude. We're going to have faith. And today, we're going to have perseverance. So the definition of perseverance is steady persistence. I really want you to get this. I think this, everything's building up to this subject today. You got to have the right attitude or you can't get anywhere. You got to have faith or you can't get anywhere. But those things build up to this part, which is key, I believe, and I tend to show you in the scriptures that it's there. We must be persistent with God. So perseverance is steady persistence in a course of action or purpose. Steady persistence. Many times I think we're guilty of not being steady. We're being, you know, we're up today, we're down tomorrow, but when you're asking God for something, be steady in pursuing God. And it takes faith to do that. So a steady persistence in a course of action or purpose, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Perseverance. Praise God.
Amen.
So when we look back at the Jesus teaching on prayer, which was in Luke 11, because at the beginning of the chapter, which we talked about a couple services ago, they said, teach us to pray. As John the Baptist must have taught his disciples how to pray. So Jesus' disciples said, teach us to pray. And then he went through the Lord's Prayer, which I believe is the model prayer. It's a great prayer. It covers all the areas. When Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he said, say this. So I believe we can say it.
Amen.
Right? It's all right. But then he taught us in other places, don't use vain repetitions, right? That, you know, as the heathen do. Don't think because you say the Lord's Prayer 50 times today that it's going to be more effective than if you said it one time with all your heart. So be sincere when you pray. Use not vain repetitions, but it's okay to say the Lord's Prayer. Everybody, I think, understands that. Okay, because I was raised Catholic, you know, and we just, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you know, and that kind of thing. That's nonsense, right?
Amen.
So don't pray mindless prayers. Pray from your heart when you pray. Let your heart be open to God and let him talk to you. So Jesus taught, when he taught about prayer, he went through the Lord's Prayer, and then right away he goes into this example, this story, if you will. You know, when Jesus tells a story, there's a reason for it. He's trying to make a point, right? And I want us to get this point about prayer. So this man has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight. So it's late at night. And he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So he's asking for bread because he's got another friend that's in a journey and he's got nothing to give him. So he's embarrassed. Now Jesus says, praise God. He says, do you think he's going to answer from within and say, no, go away. My door's shut. My kids are in bed. Go away. Jesus said he's not going to do that. Right? But he's going to instead say, all right, I'll give you as many as you need. Now, the reason why is important to Jesus because he says, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity. Now, for a long time, I didn't understand that word, so I dug into that word, and I encourage you to dig into it yourself. Amen. Dig into it. But for me, the word importunity is not what at first I thought it meant. It actually means persistence. Now listen to this definition. He said, Jesus said, this is the reason he got what he was looking for. Not because he was his friend. He said, because of his importunity, which I looked that up and it says persistence in solicitation. The state of quality of being importunate, which means urgent or persistent in solicitation, sometimes annoyingly so. Have you ever had someone come after you in an annoying way? Right? Like telecalls and advertisements. It's annoying. I'm thinking of an example right now. I bought something from an online store. I think it was a salt spreader. And I wanted a really good one because all the ones from Home Depot break because they're plastic. And the wheels don't turn. So you're out there in the freezing cold, the salt's on the spreader, and you're pushing it, and the wheels are steady, and no salt's coming out, and you're going, ugh. So I said, I'm going to get a good salt spreader. So I went online to the store, right? This guy's driving me crazy. He's assigned to follow up, says, he leaves me the same message. I'm your account manager, and I'm like. So after I ignored him 10 times, I was getting annoyed at his persistence, and I called him back. I said, listen, please take me off your list. Have you ever done that? Please stop calling me. Okay. He keeps calling anyway. I call back. Do you have a manager? See what the point is? He's annoyingly persistent. Praise God. So that's why Jesus is saying this man got the bread, not because he was friend, but because he was persistent. And he's banging on the door. He's being persistent. He's being, because of his importunity, his urgent solicitation of help. So to make him go away, he gives him the bread and says, get out of here. I need to go to sleep. There's a lesson in this for us. There's a lesson here. Praise God. Jesus is teaching us this principle. Jesus is teaching us. So Jesus is always right. Amen. Sometimes we don't get what he's saying to us, but I think we need to learn this one. Let's go to Luke 18, verse 1. And I'm so excited about this. I don't know why. I just think it's going to make a difference. That's why. I'm excited because I believe it's going to be a difference in your life and in my life. And that prayer changes things. Amen. When we do it the right way. Because you know what? This is not in vain. There is a God and his name is Jesus. Amen. The Bible is the word of God. I have no confidence in any other religion. Matter of fact, I believe they're all wrong except Christianity. Amen. And you know, I feel bad for the people that are wrong because I don't deserve to have what's right. But I believe we do. And we're not here to be overcome by this world. We are here in this last age to be overcomers. Amen. I do not accept the role of victim in this age. No. Whatever comes my way, I'm an overcomer. Now, sometimes things come our way and we're saying, oh boy. But we can't look to our ability. We look to our God. And believe that all things are possible. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. Now, can I stop there for a moment? Now, that don't mean physically faint, does it? What do you think? Men ought always to pray and not faint. To me, he's not talking about physically fainting. He's talk about spiritually getting weary. And the reason I know that's true is I looked up other scriptures. That exact Greek word in other scriptures is used as weary. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be not weary. So he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't get weary. Don't get weary, he's basically saying. The Greek actually means to be weary, utterly spiritless, exalted. exhausted. Sometimes we do get exhausted. Sometimes we do get weary, but Jesus is telling us we ought always to pray and don't be weary about praying. Don't be discouraged. Don't faint. Be persistent. Amen. Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Praise God. Do you see what Jesus, now we have another example. Here's a second example when Jesus is talking about prayer. He's putting persistence in there. Persistence is tied to getting an answer in prayer. Praise God. So I look at this and I just say, wow, he's using another extreme example to make a point. He talks about a judge which doesn't fear God nor regards man. And, you know, Jesus likes to use these extreme examples, doesn't he? In Luke 11, he said, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a stone? Well, no. I love my son. Right. He's using an extreme example. If your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone, right? And then he says, for fish, would you give him a serpent? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't put a serpent near my son. What? Are you crazy? You know, we wouldn't say that to God, right? But he's giving us an extreme example to make us realize we have a heavenly Father. He's not out to hurt us. He wants to help us. I believe he wants us to be successful according to the kingdom of God. He wants us to be successful in prayer. I believe he wants our attitude towards prayer not to be drudgery and like, oh no, I got to pray today or else I'm not a Christian. No, he wants us to be so excited. Prayer changes things. Amen. He wants us to be so excited about a prayer when something goes wrong. That's our first thought, not our last thought. Prayer changes things. Amen. First symptom of sickness in the home. Come over here. Amen. You're not mad at the person sick. You're mad at the devil. You got no right here, devil. We are believers, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. Amen. You walk to the front door, and you open it, and you watch them go. Why? Because, not because we're good, but because he cannot lie. And we believe his promises, and we're excited about them. Sickness has no place with us. Yes, we can get discouraged, but I'm saved by the grace of God. Yes, we can get all the symptoms of sickness, but by his stripes I'm healed. And we claim the promises until there's a last breath in us. Praise God. You know, we're warriors. We fight. Be brave against all evil. Praise God. We're warriors. Sure, like Israel, we were once a nation of slaves. Slaves to sin. Slaves to self. Slaves to wrong ambitions. But like Israel, we were delivered from that. Like Israel, he pulled me out of Egypt with a great deliverance. And he's bringing me into the promised land. A land of promise. Israel, once a nation of bondage and slavery, became a feared nation of warriors. That's what God wants you to be. They were successful not when they said, hey, we're great. They were successful when they said, my God is great. We're taking the land. The ones that weren't successful said, but the enemy is so great. The situation, we can't. No, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can. I can. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Praise God. A nation of slaves becomes a nation of feared warriors. That's what I want for you when you wake up in the morning. The devils go, no, no, they're awake. Oh, they're awake. Oh, look at them going to their knees praying. I can't stand this one because they believe when they pray. Amen. Nation of feared warriors. Listen, you may not realize it, but this is your destiny. I'm talking about you. You are not here to be overcome. You're here to be overcomers. All right, stop, John. Just keep going. An extreme example. Jesus likes extreme examples. This judge, he was an unjust judge, right? Unjust judge. Well, that is so opposite of our Heavenly Father, the judge of all judges. Amen. He is just. He is righteous. So he's using a completely extreme example, isn't he? While he teaches us about prayer. Praise God. Amen. So, this judge feared not God nor regarded man. The widow comes. Someone had wronged her, right? Someone had wronged the widow, and she said, avenge me. Avenge me. Maybe it was such a pathetic situation where she's a widow, her husband died, and maybe she's poor or whatever, and someone come and stole her house or her land or did something bad, right? And it was so bad, she goes to the judge and says, you have to avenge me of mine adversary. But this judge, he didn't care. Right? He was unjust. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard men. He didn't care about her. But, yet because she was persistent. What is Jesus teaching us here? Yet because she was persistent, she wouldn't go away. She just kept coming back. The justice is like, oh my gosh, I don't fear God. I don't care about this woman, but I got to make her go away. Amen. See, God does care. You believe God cares? Amen. He careth for you. Amen. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. He loves mercy. Amen. He loves to restore. He's got a beautiful spirit, right? So much so that his spirit's so beautiful, we don't want ourselves anymore. We want him to live in us, right? This is not an unjust judge. This is a wonderful God that we serve. Yet he's teaching us, be persistent with me. When you come to me, be persistent like this woman coming to the unjust judge. You know, it may look like God, per se, speaking to us. It may look like I'm silent to you, but I hear every word. Amen. Sometimes we actually believe he doesn't hear us. That's insanity. He's the creator of the universe. He's not bound by time. He has so much time for you. He can spend your whole life with you every moment of your life. Well, how could he do that? Because he's not bound by time. We can't understand a being like that, but I believe he exists. I believe he's there. And you know, every time, my testimony is every time that I sought him with all my heart, diligently, he was always there. Amen. Always. He's never failed. Never failed me yet. And he never will. He's never failed because he can't fail. Do you realize He looks to that man that humbles himself, that trembles at his word. He's looking at you and I because we love the word of God and we want him to live in us. Praise God. Be persistent. She was persistent. She wouldn't go away. So after a while, it was making the unjust judge so weary, he took up her cause and avenged her. God is saying, be persistent with me. Don't give up. Don't give up. But I've been pursuing him for so long. He doesn't say anything. Your faith's being tested. Your faith's being tested. Be persistent with God. Keep coming back. Praise God. So here we have at least two times Jesus taught my prayer. I'm sure there's more that he's encouraging us. He's plainly, very clearly encouraging us to be a pest. Be a persistent, annoying pest. Okay, you got to have the right attitude when you're approaching God. We know that. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't allow yourself to become weary. Don't allow yourself to doubt. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. I know that tries to get on us. See, because you know why? We're creatures of time. We are creatures of time. We live in the dimension of time. Brother Ram said we live in light, matter, time. Three dimensions. So what's that mean? It means we're bound by it. We can't think outside of it, hardly. We're trapped. Our carnal mind is trapped, and time matters. Remember the 11th hour worker? We went through that parable. I remember when the Lord opened up that to me greater. I love when there's simple things that actually have deeper meanings behind it. And I had heard the 11th hour worker many years, and then one day I was reading it, and I realized, you know, there's more to it than that. Because I put myself in the worker's place. If you started work at 6 o'clock in the morning and you work 12-hour day and somebody started working with 1 hour left and they got the same pay as you, well, if you're honest, you would say, I got gypped, right? I worked 12 hours. Be honest, right? I worked 12 hours in the field and this guy came in at the 11th hour and these guys came in with a few hours and you're paying me the same. And Jesus in the parable says, are you going to say I'm wrong just in your thinking because I'm nice to them? You agreed with me for a penny. So because I'm nice to them and give them the same, does that mean I'm unjust? And what I realized about the parable is this parable is not about fair wages in this life. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven. And when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, it's not about what we do and how much time we've spent. It's about what God has done for us. And we ought to get to the place where we're perfectly fine if we've served God all of our life. If you served God for 100 years of your life and you served him with all your heart, but someone who is a drug addict and a prostitute, in the last hour, they come in and fall down and give their life to God and he uses them in a marvelous way, we ought to say, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's a privilege to serve God all your life. It's a privilege to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's a privilege to not be bound in alcoholism and drugs and all this other stuff that the people are bound with. I want them to be delivered and to get the same penny that I get. That's the right way to think. But some people are selfish. No, I've been serving God longer. I need more. No. God help us. The reason is we're bound by time. We're like that first hour worker that's mad at the 11th hour worker getting something different. No. You know, the Holy Ghost is the great equalizer. Because it doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter what your background is. When you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, we're all the same. You know, that's what I love about real Christianity. Doesn't matter what race you are. Doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter whether you, what you look like. Doesn't matter. By one Spirit, we are baptized into one body.
Amen.
Praise God. I love that. I love that. See, because, you know, there is none of these issues that the world is struggling with in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
They're struggling with it because they don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And frankly, you that have the Holy Ghost are not going to make people without the Holy Ghost act properly.
Amen.
Be careful what horse you hit your wagon to. Here, I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. We'll come right down around the message. Brother Joseph, you know, he put out a paper long ago, Brother Bram's son, called Here I Stand. He had his big picture on the front. Arms folded, here I stand. And I read that and I just shook my head and said, that's such a different spirit than his father. That was my reaction. I was disappointed. Looked like it's about money, copyright, money, this and that. When I hear his father say, I'd like to give it all away for free. So, but that's one side. The other side, after that came out, was ministers were attacking Joseph Branham and his family and all kinds of things. And they said, here I stand, back at him, condemning him. And I stood in front of you and said, listen, personally, I really don't care which side you agree with, but watch your spirit. Because what I see is both sides have a wrong spirit. So you want to hitch your wagon to this side when they got a wrong spirit, and you want to hitch your wagon to this side and they got a wrong spirit. I want to hitch my wagon to Jesus.
Amen.
To the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I don't believe the Holy Ghost gets caught up in all that nonsense.
Amen.
You want to get involved in politics, in all the movements in this world, watch your spirit. Because I see wrong on both sides of it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what I want to hitch my wagon to.
Amen.
I'm not going to go take up a cause in this world that is totally fruitless. That's a distraction to our cause of what?
Right.
My greatest enemy is not somebody else. My greatest enemy to my mission is my carnal self.
Amen.
Not somebody else. You get your carnal self out of the way and let the Holy Ghost have preeminence, and that's the cause we ought to fight for. Don't get distracted. Can't control a lot of those things. Praise the Lord. Time delays, they affect us. See, but what we need is eternal eyesight. We got to break out of our dimension that we're in, time. And realize, if God promised it, it's true no matter what the time delay is.
Amen.
Time delays often are the thing that hinder people from being steady and persistent.
Amen.
And they get weary and they faint and they give up. God don't want you to give up. God is encouraging you and I think we made that plain. He's encouraging us to be persistent with him. Like Brother Branham would say, I just take the scriptures and I say, God, it's your word. You said so. You have to do it. Praise God. Be persistent. He said, God loves his children to remind him of what his word says. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Eternal eyesight. Get out of the dimension you're in. Let's get into God's dimension where the impossible is possible. I don't care what the circumstances are. All things are possible if I can only believe. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. You don't have to turn. He's going to put it up on the wall here. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. It says, okay, James 1. We can go to that one. James 1 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. What tries your faith? Well, you're believing something and it hasn't happened yet. Right? When you believe in something and it happens, well, your faith's not being tested anymore. Your faith was vindicated. What tries your faith is when you believe for something, you see it, you believe it, it's of God, and your motives are right, and you're waiting for the manifestation, and it hasn't happened yet. The trying of your faith worketh patience, which I think if we're honest, we all need a little more. Amen. Patience, right? We've been trained in this world not to be patient. I catch myself. I'm guilty. You walk into the supermarket and there's 15 lines there and they got one open. I can't wait 20 seconds. I'm looking around. Where's the manager? We're all guilty of that. We've been trained that for instant service, instant gratification, they got to check me out of here right away. I remember from my mom when they had to, I used to go to the store with my mom. When a full cart was $100, I can remember that. Now it's like a little baggie, it's $100. But I remember standing in line and at the little local grocery store, and there was like seven people back in three lines, and you're in a cart. Well, you just waited. It was no big deal. Sitting with mom, talking to mom, throwing a little candy bar in the cart. Guilty. I'm guilty. The great thing about my mom is when she'd find it, she didn't put it back. She says, all right. I don't know if that was good or bad, but praise the Lord. But the point is we used to be more patient because the world was more patient. It was a slower pace. Now everything's quick, quick. Well, don't expect that from God. God hasn't changed. You can't pay a little more and up your bandwidth to get a faster response. Right? Amen. If I can't get my internet news like this, man, what's wrong? Do you see the society has trained us to be impatient? But God will train you and I to have patience by trying our faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, faith is more precious than gold. Right? Real faith. The trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's a great thing to have your faith tested. We don't feel that way. It's just kind of like all chastisement is unpleasant when it's happening, but it yieldeth peaceable fruit, right? A kid that's child trained is more well behaved. We appreciate the parent doing real good child training because then we don't get a little brat running around kicking people in the shins, right? Right? We appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate good parenting, you know? I failed many times, but we tried. Just like that doesn't feel good when it's happening, the trial of our faith, it many times it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us question. It makes us search. Listen, if you've prayed for something and you believe it's God's will with all your heart and you're waiting, what happens? You pray more and you start to search. Lord, have I done something to grieve you? That's actually good. That we start to search. Right? Remember when I love to use Brother Branham. He's such a good example. For 5 years, he had this thing on him that something was wrong. If you study the message, you know what I'm talking about. Right when he talks about it, when he spoke to the storm and the storm went away, and the Lord said, well, why don't you walk with me? Whew, what a beautiful. You know, he wants to walk with you and I. Why don't you walk with me? And he what was like snow covered, the sun came out, and he remembered the tears coming down through his beard and dropping on dry leaves. Everything got dried up. That was completely, you know, there was supposed to be this huge snowstorm. And he said, the deer come up in front of him. Remember the story? And it come real close to him. He said, you know, I could shoot you. And they came even closer. See, they weren't coming to Brother Branham. Somebody else was there. They wanted to get closer to that. I want to get closer to that. I need him. We need him. So the deer come closer, and they're looking at a human, but they're sensing a supernatural being. So they weren't scared. And Brother Branham said, go on. Enjoy the wilderness. I'm not going to shoot you. Like, because some of the other hunters needed a deer, and he was thinking maybe I could get one for them. And he said, no, I promise God, I'm not going to shoot you for them. And to go off. And then the Spirit of God came to Brother Branham and says, you remembered your promise. He said, and I'll remember mine. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Amen. He said, the burden that had been with me for 5 years left. Left. Have you ever had a burden that you're carrying for years? Amen. Amen. He's a deliverer of burdens. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he didn't put that on Brother Branham because he didn't like him. I believe he loved Brother Branham. And I believe he loves each and every one of you. And in spite of myself, I believe he loves me. In spite of our failings, I believe he loves us and he wants us to come to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The trying of our faith worketh patience. You know, we're the seed of Abraham. He waited 25 years for a son. That's a long time. He had some ups and downs in between. He had some failings in a way and all kinds of things. But you know, the promise was still good. The promise was still good. And finally, Isaac came. We are the seed of Abraham. How about Hannah? She waited for years for a child. And what was, I mean, talk about persistence. Her husband saying, listen, hey, I can't do anything. He was right. She kept coming to God. She kept coming to God. I love that. Keep coming to God. No matter what. If you have faith, Hannah had faith that she was supposed to be a mother. She was supposed to have a child. And she didn't want to accept being barren. And I love that thought that a Christian that has faith that the word of God should be made manifest through them. And they're barren. They said, this is not the way it's supposed to be, Lord. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I was not meant here to be like a denominational Christian. I wasn't meant here just to go through the motions. Lord, I was meant to produce something. Lord, I was meant to have your word manifest through me because I can't be happy without you producing your word in me. Be persistent like Hannah. Be persistent with God. He sees everything. He sees everything. How about Jacob, you know, and his first wife, I believe it's Rachel, right? She didn't have any kids. The servants had kids. And finally, Joseph, come. Something wonderful happened. There was a long wait, and then that wonderful thing happened. How about Elizabeth, Zacharias? She was barren all those years, right? And she's an old woman, and it got to the place where it just didn't look like it was possible. But after all the waiting, after all the testing, the prayer was answered, and John the Baptist came. Right? Hannah, after all the years, Samuel came. What am I trying to say? What if there's something wonderful that's making you wait all this time? Amen. We should have faith and not doubt and believe that God is going to produce something wonderful. Amen. He's not just torturing me. He's not just being mean to me. He's got something wonderful for me.
Amen.
So I choose to be persistent. I choose to pursue my God in faith till on my last breath. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your word. Praise God. I love that. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'll stop there. Perseverance is a scriptural principle. And actually, if you have the right attitude and you know you're approaching God with the right attitude and you got the right motives and you got the right objectives and you have faith in your heart, the next step is perseverance. Persistence. Actually, you got nowhere else to go. You can't retreat. All the armor of God is protecting in the front. It's not protecting from running away. If you really believe, keep pursuing God. Keep pursuing God. Mark chapter 7. Before we go there, let me just say, it's simply a standard part of a Christian battle. It's fighting. We're not pushovers, we're warriors. Right? Israel had to what? Fight for every inch of ground. They had to fight for every inch when taking the promised land. So we must fight for what we know is right. Fight and be persistent for all those things, right? Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Let's look at the story here. And from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. I'm sure they were chasing him. They were pursuing him. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Aren't you glad you heard of Jesus? And came and fell at his feet. Okay, right approach. She had the right. She went to the right person. She had the right approach. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. See, we love this woman because she had enough faith to believe for her daughter. Now, I believe when we meet this sister from Syrophoenician woman, I can't wait to shake her hand because she gave me a lot of encouragement. I believe that we're going to find out she made some mistakes. She tried to reason with the devil on her daughter. Amen? You ever done that? Mm-hmm. I've come to realize you can't reason with the devil. You can't expect anything from a devil but what a devil will do. Right? What would a devil do? Lie, steal, cheat, kill, murder. You know, why should I be surprised at a devil acting like a devil? So I think she got to the place where she realized it doesn't make sense for me to try and shake this thing out of my daughter. And one day she heard about Jesus. And faith just launched. And she realized, you know what? What I'm doing is not producing anything. I'm going to him. I'm going to humble myself to him. I'm going to be persistent with him. And that's how I'm going to help my daughter.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And we all got loved ones, see? And we hate to see what the devil does to people. I'm right there with you. The devil is just mean. He's a hard taskmaster. I personally want everybody to know Jesus.
Amen.
I want everybody to know Jesus. I want everybody to love him. But I can't make that happen. I can't force people to do it. I know it's best for them. So he goes, she's in this bad situation. Oh, this just proves he'll test our faith, right? She besought him he would cast the daughter out of the devil. But Jesus said to her, let the children be first, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. She could have been like all upset. This is a racial thing, man. He didn't like my race. Right? She could have walked away with victim attitude and got nothing. Praise God.
Amen.
But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. He called me a dog. Listen, you cannot deny he insulted her.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus insulted this woman who was humbling herself to him, who had a cause not for her selfish, but for her daughter. And she had a real desperate need, and she come to Jesus. Sorry, you're not one of my kind. Can't help you. How would we react today? Would we get all offended and walk away and say, well, something wrong with that guy? Jesus is in the testing business. In the testing business. So she answered him and said unto him, yes, Lord. Woo! You just call me a dog, but I'm going to call you Lord. Listen, if we knew the truth of it, we're all a bunch of dogs.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God.
Amen.
There is none righteous. No, not one.
Amen. That's right, brother.
If we could see ourselves for really what we are, we would see our carnal flesh as wretched and vile and wicked and undeserving of anything but hell.
True.
And now you may not agree with me, but if he sends every one of us to hell, he's still righteous.
Amen.
I'm
with you, brother.
He's still holy. He's still worthy. And every one of us in hell really should worship him in hell.
Amen.
Because he's that worthy.
Amen.
No, Brother John, he's not worthy unless he saves me. You need to really get saved.
Amen.
Because when you get saved and you see God for what he is, you're going to realize he is worthy.
Amen.
And I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not worthy. And you're not worthy. None of us is worthy. So she got that revelation. Therefore, she did not get offended at the pushback. You know what she had? She had real faith to be persistent in the face of obstacles, even obstacles from God. How many of us are like that? I tell you, I love this sister. I not in a carnal way, but I love that persistence and faith. I want that. We need that. No matter what obstacles come our way, we're going to be persistent with God. We're going to keep pursuing God. We're going to keep believing God because we have needs that we need him for. And where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. Well, I don't understand it, but thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
I don't understand everything, but I understand you, the guy. You're the man. You are Christ.
Hallelujah.
You are the Messiah.
Praise
I'm going to keep coming after you, Jesus, even if I don't understand you.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe in God that way?
Praise
yeah.
the living Lord.
Yeah. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. How about Job, you know? We read the story of Job and we know the end from the beginning. And it makes it more pleasant when you know the end from the beginning. But when Job was going through it, he didn't know the end. And he still said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust in him. Amen. Everybody turns against him, his friends, his wife, and everybody, and his body and his mind. And he even got to the place, why was I even born? Amen. Doesn't mean we don't have frustrations, amen, right? What it means is, do we really believe that God is God? And he's worthy to be served even if he doesn't help us. But we have faith that he's going to help us. So he says, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Woo!
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The dogs. She's saying, yes, Lord, you can call me a dog.
Amen.
And I'm not asking for a lot. Just, you can put your children first. You can put Israel first, but just give me a crumb. Because one little speck from you is all I need.
Amen.
It's all I need. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
One little crumb from you.
Amen.
Woo! He said to her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter.
Amen.
Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah.
That's what she wanted. She was persistent. She was persistent to get what she wanted. What did she do? She humbled herself to the right one.
Amen.
Even when there was obstacles, she kept being persistent. It didn't shake her faith. Brothers and sisters, do we have faith?
Amen.
When I come back to earth, shall I find faith? Shall I find faith when I come back to earth? And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, and she laid upon the bed. Oh, what a reunion.
Woo, hallelujah.
Oh, what a time. Look towards that time.
Amen.
I'm looking towards that time where our loved ones, you know, I don't want them to pat me on the back. I want them to have their hands to Jesus with their tears coming down.
Amen.
Saying, thank you for delivering me, Lord. Oh, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, Lord, fill me with your spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to do your will. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. That's what we want.
Amen.
We don't want them to look to us. We want them to look to Jesus. Oh, she was persistent. She had perseverance. Even God in flesh couldn't push her away. Woo. She had faith. I love that. She had faith. Can I just read a few quotes as we try and finish up here? I really hope this helps you today, because I really believe this is, honestly, this is an area we're lacking. I believe sometimes we can have the right attitude. Sometimes we really do believe the promise, but we're lacking in this perseverance part. So, Brother Branham, prophet of God, he says, mustard seed don't mix. They tell me you can't mix with nothing, the mustard. It remains a mustard. And when a man takes a word of God, no matter how little that faith is, see that crumb? No matter how little that faith is, it won't mix with any unbelief. It'll bring him out to the light. Some of us has great faith that'll just perform miracles. Some has faith just to hold on till it happens. But if it's genuine faith, once you a hold of it, there's nothing going to shake you from it. It ain't going to mix. Then that person is persistent, has perseverance. No matter how many people says the days of miracles passed, he doesn't believe it. He holds on. He's met the conditions and sunk the word of God into his heart, and faith believes it. There he stays. You see, once faith's taken hold, then perseverance comes in. Praise God. I think I'm missing something here. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Rand said, before you can be persistent, you have to have faith in what you're trying to achieve. Think of it. Faith without doubt. Before you can be persistent, you have to have faith in what you're trying to achieve. And if you haven't got faith in what you're trying to do, you'll never be able to do it. So you can't be persistent if you don't really believe it. Now, all Christians must be persistent. They must be perseverant. And the only way that you're able to do this is first to have faith in what you're trying to do. And if you have no faith, you're jumping at it. See? And you can't be perseverant. But when you really know it's the truth, then there's nothing going to stop you in your really perseverance. Praise God. Let me just hit the highlights here. I don't want to take too long. Oh my. Noah believed it. Sure, he achieved God's purpose for his life. Do you want to achieve God's purpose in your life? Amen, amen, I do. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to get to the end of my life and then he says, I had a purpose for you and you didn't get there. I don't want to hear that. No. Do you want to achieve God's purpose for your life? Then be perseverant. When you get the word of God, hold on to it. It's a promise. It's yours. Moses, he's talking about Moses, how he was trained and everything. But oh, he run like a coward with all his education, all his theology, he failed. All the great things, he failed. But one day in a burning bush, God met him. When God come to him in this burning bush, watch him, his stick in his hand, wife on a mule, little Gershom sitting on his hip down the road to Egypt. See? Praise God. Sorry. Down the road to Egypt. He was going to take over. He had perseverance. He was very persistent. Now, what I like about that is a real experience of God gives you perseverance. When you really, really meet God and have an experience with God, it just gives you that. It's an automatic thing. It gives you faith and perseverance. Praise God. Martha, remember Mary and Martha? She had very much perseverance in the presence of Jesus. When she come up to him, and said, Lord, remember, she sent for him to pray for her brother, and he didn't do it. She didn't scold Jesus for not coming. She was persistent. Now, when we find Martha walked up to him and said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother had not died. But even now, whatever you ask, God will give it to you. See? She didn't let the disappointment of him not doing what she wanted distract her from the goal. Even now, Lord. You know, maybe we waited long years. Maybe we've had ups and downs. Maybe we've had failures. But Lord, I've had all kinds of failures in my life. I've tried this, I tried that, I failed every turn. But even now, Lord, I believe all things are possible. Amen. Praise God. Perseverance, Brother Rand says, the Webster Dictionary, it means persistent in making a goal. You must be fully persuaded and be persistent. And now, it's a good word. I like it. I'm very fond of the word perseverant. And I think that's the attitude all Christians should be at all times, be perseverant. All men through the ages that has faith in what they're trying to achieve has been perseverant. All down through history of time, men that's ever done anything that's been trying to achieve something, they have to have faith in what they're trying to achieve. And when they do, then they're perseverant. Praise God. Brother Bram, just a couple more. Little nuggets. Brother Bram's talking about the testimony of the baby that was raised from the dead, I think it was in Mexico. And he's talking about this woman, you know, she's ducking through the ushers. Oh my. Why? She was persistent. She didn't care what the church says, whether she was excommunicated. If a blind man could receive his sight, see, no man could restore sight to the blind. Anybody knows that. Even the Pharisee says, who could restore sight to the blind except God only? No man could do that. And she knew that. And she knew if God was here on earth in power enough to give a blind man his sight, he was the same God that could raise the dead. She was persistent. She stayed all night. The undertaker's calling for her baby. She stayed all that day. And the usher's trying to keep her out of line. And she stayed anyhow, turned down every way. But she stayed. Why? She had perseverance. Faith had caught a hold. Faith said it's so. And faith knows no difficult. Faith knows no defeat. When you got faith, you have perseverance. Amen. Love that. Can you imagine this woman holding a dead baby in the rain all day? Faith. Maybe dead now, but won't be dead when I get up there. Faith. Praise God. How about the woman that touched the hem of his garment? She had perseverance.
Amen.
Right? She went to the doctors. She gave all her money to the doctors. The woman with the blood issue, right? Can you imagine this woman just bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and she can't stop it, and the doctors make all kinds of promises and do all kinds of experiments and they can't stop it either.
Amen.
And she heard about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Brother Branham says, faith finds a way. It might be crawling, it may be singing, it may be shouting, whatever it is, it finds a way, it moves right on. She tried to touch, she blocked off and blocked off. Finally, she just stooped down and reached over and touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
She just had to touch, squeeze her, touch the hem of his garment.
Amen.
She got it.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus turned around, said, "Who touched me?" Why? She had perseverance. She touched him. You know what? Today, Brother Branham was there with a gift from God. And if there's a gift in a minister's life, that gift is God. It's God's gift to the people. Brother Branham's gift in his life wasn't his gift. It was God's gift to the people. And he said, you could come up here, but it's not touching me, it's touching him. And somebody in the audience would touch Jesus by faith, and that would draw the prophet of God, the pillar of fire, right over them. And he'd say, he touched him. Such and such is wrong. See, faith. Today, we don't have to touch the physical hem of his garment. It's our faith in what he did for us, and we believe the promise, and by these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
By these promises, we're saved, we're healed, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We become overcomers by believing the promises, not looking to ourselves. Praise God. Can I share a little more with you, and then we'll be finished? I just got so many little nuggets, and I just got a couple more. That just really, I think this is really important. Brother Branham said, listen, friends, the more simpler you can be, the more God can deal with you. That is so true. We get too complicated. I'm not against education. Education's all right, but people get so highly educated till they think they know more about it than God does. How many times have we seen that? And they miss the goal. You've got to forget all you've ever known in your own knowledge to know Christ. Well, you just come childlike to accept him. That's all. That's the way you accept God. The more simple you can get, the more humble, and get away from yourself, your own ideas. Just take God's word and what it's for what it's worth and believe it. And it's by faith that these things are come, not by what you can figure out. You'll never be able. There's never been a man in the world, no saint, nor been ever figured out God. You can't. So don't think that you can do something that they cannot do, because it can't be. That's right. You just believe him. That's what he wants you to do.
Amen.
Not try to figure him out. That's one of our problems.
Amen.
I see the promise, but how's he going to do it? That's not for us to figure out.
Amen.
How can he hear the prayers of everybody in the world? Listen, we can't understand that, but we believe he does.
Amen.
And that's why we pray to this supernatural being that loves us. Be simple. That's how you're going to have success. Miracles that I've seen happen on people's lives, it's people that can just say, I believe it. They're not trying to understand it. I believe what he said. Finally, let's all stand. I'll share this with you. Praise the Lord. Be certain of God. 1959. He says, many times trouble strikes our home. It's a blessing in disguisement.
Amen.
Some people might say, well, you're sick because you're not right with God. That doesn't mean that. Job was right with God and he was sick. But it's God testing you, putting you to test to see what you'll do. Maybe he let the doctor say that for a purpose, to see what you do. We're near the coming of the Lord. God's coming for a church. He never asked and questioned, will I have a church? Will I have righteousness? But here's the question Jesus asked, will I find faith when I come? God's putting you to a test, maybe to try your faith. All of her trouble and death at the door. He's talking about the Elijah and the woman. All her trouble and death at the door turned with one, thus saith the Lord. She and her son and Elijah eat many days from the barrel, and it never did waste, neither did the cruse run dry, because she was certain of God. Let's bow our heads to him. Oh, Lord, how great thou art, oh God. Oh, Lord, thank you for leading us in this way, teaching us. Lord, there's been many times that I've been conscious in my life that I had faith that I was being taught of God. Lord, and this is one of those times. Lord, I step back and I see you loving your people so much, teaching us how to approach you, teaching us how to pray and to have the right attitude and to believe and to be persistent. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for Calvary and the blood that was shed. Lord, nothing in our arms we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. We claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, you see my desire. I want you to bless your people, Lord. You know my heart. I'm unworthy to stand here, Lord. And if I didn't have faith that you wanted me here, Lord, you know I wouldn't be here. So I ask you to bless your people. Take these lessons from the scriptures, Lord, and quicken them to us, Lord. May we meditate on them. May we be persistent, Lord, for those things that we believe. May we hold on like Hannah. May we hold on like the Syrophoenician woman. May no obstacle get in the way. Lord, I pray for all of our loved ones that are not saved. Oh God, it's painful to watch. But Lord, we believe and confess something wonderful is just ahead. The devil left her daughter. Lord, thou art no respecter of persons. Lord, we have faith. May the demons leave our loved ones, Lord. And may that spirit be replaced with your spirit. And may they be truly born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, worshiping you with all their heart, Lord. Help us to have the right attitude towards the sinners we meet in the world, unbelievers. Oh, Lord, let us not look down on them, Lord. Lord, they scolded you because you ate with the sinners. Lord, help us to have the right attitude, Lord. May we point them to Calvary. Give us the words to say. You said in that hour, you teach us what to say. Lord, we're willing to be a vessel used by you, Lord, but we need you, oh God. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Help us, Lord Jesus. Hear our prayers, oh God. Save us, Lord, from this dying generation. Lord, if there's one here today that's not truly saved, I ask you, touch them by your spirit. May they not be content day or night until they're truly born again. That's your work, oh God. We just point them to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, I confess, I have faith that this little group, that something wonderful is going to happen, Lord. I don't even know what it will be, Lord, but I just believe that you didn't lead us this way all in vain, Lord, that there's something wonderful just ahead. Lord, keep our eyes on the prize. Like the boy on the bicycle, I'm not looking where I was. I'm looking where I'm going. Amen. Lord, how when we come to that marriage supper, Lord, how we long to see you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
How we long to see you come before your bride, oh Jesus. Just to see you face to face to hear the wonderful words proceed out of your mouth. Lord, that's what we want, Lord. Bless each one today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Mercy, Rewrote My Life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Yes, Lord. Oh, mercy rewrote.